Well, look briefly at the Word of God tonight, because we want to set aside most of the time for prayer. So, Book of Romans and the chapter 10. I was thinking, praying this morning, what should I preach on? And there's a text of scripture came to my mind, and I felt the Lord would have us look at this then together tonight. So, Romans and the chapter 10, and we'll read the first four verses together. Romans 10, verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to every one that believeth. Amen. May God bless that short reading of his word to all of our hearts. We'll have a wee word of prayer. Father in heaven, we rejoice tonight we can come, Lord, into thy most holy presence. And we come in the name of Christ, our great Saviour. And we come tonight, Lord, to meet with thee at the throne of grace. And before we come to pray, we pray that thou would give us, Lord, instruction, and thou would give us, Lord, a blessing from thy word. Let us, Lord, say that petition like Samuel. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. Come now and pour out your spirit, Lord, upon the word, and give us, Lord, a blessing to our hearts, and then give us liberty to lay hold upon thee tonight at the throne of grace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. My text is found in Romans chapter 10, of course, and the verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Apostle Paul was without doubt a tremendous servant of the Lord. He was saved, and immediately he set out to proclaim the faith that once he destroyed. In his service we can see his sacrifice. He sacrificed his religion. That was recorded for us over in Philippians 3 and the verse 8. That he counted everything but dung. His pedigree, he was a Pharisee, his religion, his knowledge, and everything that he had, he counted them but dung that he might win Christ. He laid it all to the side to serve the Master. He sacrificed riches. You can read in 2 Corinthians 11 verse 27 about his being in weariness and painfulness and hunger and thirst and cold and nakedness. He laid aside every possession of the world in order that he would be able to preach Christ and to serve Christ. Christ was first in his life. He sacrificed relations. He left all to follow Jesus Christ. He sacrificed rest and comfort, because he speaks about in the Bible, and for labouring night and day. Night and day he laboured. And here's a man we can truly say, I surrendered all to Jesus. There was a sacrifice in his service. There was his speech. Now the Bible tells us about Paul's speaking. It says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 4, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And here's a man, when he got up to preach, he preached with the anointing of the Lord upon him, and he tells him himself, and his testimony was that when he spoke, and his preaching was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of power, and in his service he was filled with the Holy Ghost to preach the gospel of Christ. You think about his sufferings in the service. It was an easy road to follow Christ. You read all about those. We haven't time to look at this sermon fully tonight. In 2 Corinthians 11, you have it all catalogued of what he suffered. Sometimes, child of God, we think, well, we get it hard in the Christian life. You read 2 Corinthians chapter 11. How this man of God, this servant of the Lord, suffered, and suffered greatly. in order to serve the Lord that he loved. We can think about his success in the service. Follow his missionary journeys, you'll see there were souls saved, there were churches formed, there were neighborhoods transformed by the power of the gospel. He was certainly a mighty man of God in his service. But let's not forget his supplications in his service. You only have to read the writings of Paul, and you'll see that Paul prayed. You'll see that Paul had prayer was very important in his life. In Philippians 1 verse 4, writing to that church, he says, "Always in every prayer of mine for you all." And he was saying to this people, when I get on my knees and when I pray, I'm always praying for you. He was always praying for them. Indeed, in Romans 1 and verse 9, he said, "I make mention of you always in my prayers." Now, Paul believed in the power of prayer. Prayer was essential to him in his service. It was just not, can I say, a leftover in his service. It was right at the top in his Christian life. He was one who took time to pray, and to pray often, and to seek the face of God for God's blessing in his service. And you can read in Romans 15 verse 30 that he even asked the people that they would pray for him. Now in Romans chapter 10 here we have in verse 1 the Apostle Paul in the place of prayer. As I have said, he placed great importance to seek the face of God. And here we find this man in Romans 10 and verse 1. We find him not out on the mission field, not out, dear friends, preaching somewhere, but we find him here in the closet, and we find this man in the place of prayer, and he's praying. And I want us to speak tonight about some lessons about prayer in Paul's life here. I say, first of all, about Paul in the place of prayer, Paul's privilege. He sums it up, his privilege, in three words, and he says, prayer to God. Now let me say this tonight. Such a privilege brought this man, and he believed it, with all of his heart, into the presence of God. And he believed when he went to that throne of grace, and when he went to the closet, and when he went to the place of prayer, that he was talking to God. He says, prayer to God. And that was a great privilege. That me, he says, nothing but a hell-deserving sinner, saved by the grace of God, can talk with God. Now, Lloyd-Jones, and I have probably told you this statement before, and I make no apology if I have. I use it when I preach in prayers on numerous occasions. One of the finest statements and quotes I ever came across about prayer. And Lloyd-Jones said, "This man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God." That's a tremendous statement. Man is at his greatest and highest when upon his knees he comes face to face with God. And here was Lloyd-Jones. He realized the privilege of prayer. That it brought that child of God face to face with none other than God. And here's the Apostle Paul. He speaks about this privilege, prayer to God. He was going to talk with God. And you can think of Christ. He brought those words out in Matthew 6, "But enter into the closet and pray to your Father, which is in secret." You see, this privilege, it brought him into the presence of God. And it's good for us to remember tonight, when we come to pray, that we've come to talk with God. We haven't come to talk one with one another. And we haven't come tonight to say, well, to pray, to seek to impress. I'm not saying, suggesting that would be the case of anyone, but we haven't come to pray then to impress each other here tonight. No, if we're like the Apostle Paul here, we find when he came to pray that he had this privilege of meeting with God. If we only grasp tonight, this is true prayer. Meeting with God. And God is in this place tonight. haven't time to tell the illustration I have before, but it runs something like Praying Hyde was asked to pray for him. A man asked him to pray one night, and Praying Hyde took him into a room, he closed the door, and he said, the man bowed to pray, and he said, for 5 minutes he said there wasn't a noise. And then he says, Praying Hyde said, oh God, he said, for 5 minutes he never spoke. And the man said that his heart was trembling, because he said he realized he was face to face with God. Friends, we come to pray, realize tonight the privilege of this prayer, this prayer to God. Would it be a terrible thing if we were forbidden to pray? Would it be a terrible thing if we were not allowed to pray? That we couldn't enter into the closet, that we couldn't come to seek God in prayer? Wouldn't it be terrible? And yet we have this privilege of talking to God. Brings us right into the presence of God. Such a privilege, could I say, was proper. He says prayer to God. It was proper in his life, of course, because why? He was a child of God. And it is right and proper for a child of God to pray, or to pray. And it was proper for him because he was praying to God. He was praying to the Lord. He was praying to the one, well, who was the King of Kings. It wasn't like those old false prophets in 1 Kings 18 where they cried on to Baal. And they said, but there was no voice nor any that answered. They were praying to false gods. But here was Paul. He says, I pray to God. You're not glad tonight that we can pray to God. It is proper that we do so. God expects us to be a praying people and to seek his face. And this privilege, not only was it proper, it was pleasant. Could you imagine in his heart, he says, I am going to talk with God. I'm going to talk with the Lord of glory. He did not look upon prayer as a toil to go to the place of prayer, but rather it was a joy to go to it. And there was pleasure and there was joy in his heart, because he shut himself up then in the presence of God. What a privilege it is to carry everything to God in prayer. Now I know we all face difficulties when we come to pray. I know it's not always easy when we come to pray. But nevertheless, it is a privilege. It's one we shouldn't leave, child of God, undone. That hymn, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world of care. And so we have Paul's privilege. Prayer to God. And what a privilege it is tonight for us to come together, and we've come to pray to God, and we've come to meet with God, and we've come to speak with God here tonight in this place. Can I move on quickly? Paul's petition, you can see here that it was for Israel. A prayer to God for Israel. Now Paul here is praying for his fellow countryman. It has been said, those who aim at nothing hit nothing. Paul knew what he was going to pray for, and who he was going to pray for when he went to this place of prayer. And he says, look, brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel. For Israel. He's praying here for Israel. He's praying for his brethren. That they were his brethren. Chapter 9 verse 3 shows us that. It says there in chapter 9 verse 3, for I wish that myself were cursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to the flesh. And he was praying for his brethren. They were from the same country, Israel. They had the same covenants that's mentioned in verse 4 in Romans 9. They had the same condition that the Apostle Paul once had, lost in sin and far away from Christ. They had the same conduct as Paul once had, self-righteous and Christ rejecters, and yet he says, I'm praying for my brethren. I'm praying for these men. My brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. And we're coming tonight to pray. I hope you'll be specific tonight. Name names before God. Is it a son? Is it a daughter in your family? Is it a mother or a father, a husband or a wife, whatever it may be, brother or sister? Is it your neighbour? Whatever it is, friends. Let us be specific tonight, and we'll come with our petitions, and we'll name names before God, and bring them before the throne of grace tonight, whoever that may be. They were not only his brethren, they were blind. In verse 2 and 3 it shows us this. I bear them record that they have a seal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. They were men had seen. You can see that they were ignorant of God's righteousness. You can see that they were going about to establish their own righteousness. They were trying to reach God, in other words, well, by their own works. They were blinded. And they were blinded by the devil. And they were blinded to the truth. And they were trying to reach God by their own righteousness. And Paul said, I'm going to pray for those people. Because they're lost and they'll never make it to heaven. They'll never make it. You see, they were blinded. You know, I met a woman yesterday in the door work. Not often you meet one like it round the keel, I have to confess. You meet Roman Catholics like it, but not from the Protestant churches. Very self-righteous. And no matter what I said. And she was so sure she would get into heaven, and I will go to God, and I will look to God, and he will see that I have been so good, and I haven't done too much wrong, and I've been good to my family, and I have prayed, and really, I trembled. No matter what I told her about Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, and, well, being born again, she was just like us people, going about to establish her own righteousness. And my mind went immediately to Pilgrim's Progress about ignorance. Remember, he thought he had reached heaven by himself. He went up to the gates of heaven, and he was taken, and he was cast out into damnation. I just saw that woman going on through life. If God doesn't have mercy upon her, friend, that's what happened to her. And Paul said, I'm going to pray for these people. They're blinded. The people in this town are blinded. They were brutal as well. The most severe persecution that fell upon the Apostle Paul came from his own countrymen. I haven't time to give the reference, but you'll see it was the Jews who took counsel to kill him. It was the Jews who rounded up people time and time again to stone him, you see. And as Matthew Henry says, though Paul preached against them, yet he prayed for them. These were, in a sense, well, his spiritual enemies. But Paul said, I'll pray for him. Oh, dear friends, good to pray for our brother. Good to pray for our families. Good to pray for the people of this congregation. Good to pray for those that we love. But what about our enemies? The Lord Jesus has to love our enemies, do good to them that hate you, and pray. Pray for them with the spite that he knows you, and persevere to pray for these people. And Paul prayed for these people, and he prayed that they would be blessed. In fact, he prayed that they might be saved. And Paul's before the throne of God, and he's speaking in a sense into the very ear of God, and he's praying for his brethren, his countrymen, who's blinded, who's brutal, who's far away from God, who's in darkness and on their way to hell, and he's praying this, that God might save them. He prayed for the greatest blessing of all, friends, that they may be saved. That was it. Not that they'd be rich, not that they get many friends' possessions, but Lord, that they may be saved. Now you read that prayer. That's a short prayer. But I'm sure you can put someone in that prayer tonight, child of God, that my son, my daughter, that they may be saved. My mother, my father, that they may be saved. That's the blessing we want for our children. That's the blessing we want for the young people of this church. The greatest blessing. Here's Paul's petition. That they might be saved. That's what the mission's for when we come. We don't want a mission just to be entertained. We want people saved. Surely it's time for thee to work. We pray that prayer to the Lord. They have made void thy law. That God in his mercy would reach people. that they might be saved. Their family members need to be saved. Their neighbours need to be saved. There's Roman Catholics in this town that need to be saved. Pray that people will be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. Can I say lastly and very quickly, Paul's passion in prayer, he prayed with his heart, you see, brethren, my what heart's desire. You see, he prayed with his heart. This wasn't just empty words. No, here's a man down before God, in the presence of God, and he says, my heart's desire. And Paul is praying, you see, with his heart. He means what he's asking for. You see, friends, you need to pray with your heart. Paul prayed, but his heart showed his burden. He was burdened for this people. Saw them lost and on their way to hell. He was burdened. He was broken for them. He made it his business then to pray, you see. One that says the best prayers have often more groans than words. And here he is praying, burdened, broken, that people might be saved. You know, friends, I know what it's like to come to pray in public. I find it difficult. I did when I was a young Christian. I used to tremble when I thought I had to pray in public. But I've learned now, as went on in life, it's hard to beat the prayer from the heart. There's nobody here will judge your prayer. Not one person. But oh, that simple, sincere prayer from the heart. That's what God wants tonight. May God lead us to the throne of grace and help us to seek his face tonight in prayer.